Perfect. So let's start. My name is Jose Martinez. If you're wondering about my accent, I am from a small island on the right side of the Caribbean. It's named Puerto Rico. And I moved to LA about 7 years ago. I lived here for 5 years in Pasadena. And about 9 months ago, my family, my wife, and two kids, we drove 2,500 miles. And we now live in Orlando, Florida. And with Mickey Mouse with her. Actually, there are more Puerto Ricans in Orlando than in Puerto Rico. It is so sometimes I get too excited. So if you please, if for whatever reason you do not understand my accent, just raise your hand and say, Jose, keep it slow. Just get too excited explaining things. Okay? But please do. I just want to be the most informal as possible with you guys sharing about how technology can help you out with your sermons. Okay, I'm going to do a short prayer, and then we'll start, okay? Thank you, God, for, again, allowing us to be here tonight. It is my heart and my sincere desire, please be with us as we discuss one of the most powerful things we could do in life, to preach your gospel. Help us as we share together for the next couple of minutes how Logos technology can help all of us to fulfill your call. In the name of Jesus, amen. Yeah. So,
sorry, Jose.
Go for it.
Did they bring the audio recorder?
Yes, it's already recording. So thank you.
Sorry.
About 3 years ago, I started working with this company, Logos. I bought the software about 6-7 years ago, and honestly, it changed my life. So tonight, I work for Logos, and the idea is for me to discuss, to show you the software, and just for my own sake, please raise your hand if you own license of Logos, or do you have Logos? Anyone else?
I have Accordance.
Do you have Accordance? Okay, fair enough. So Accordance is a great software. But tonight the idea is to show what you can accomplish with Logos. You guys know about Logos? No? You guys know? Okay, fair enough. So to give you in a nutshell about who we are, the company started about 23 years ago. We are based in Seattle, Washington. A guy who used to work with Microsoft became a Christian, and he thought, hey, there should be a better way to study the Bible.
Yeah.
So he quit and started developing a software. At that moment in time, it wasn't what it is today. Now, again, we have about 400 people, and we have different presenters. I am the only bilingual, so I travel across the globe going to conferences presenting the software to different audiences. So the idea of the software is basically to help you out in your Bible study, and that's the passion of the company, to help out the church to go back to the Bible. And today, I am honestly not going to be able to show you all the things of the software. I want to try to narrow it down specifically on your sermon prep. So, because you're here, I believe that you teach or you preach sermons. So I'm going to show you in an informal way the things that the software can accomplish. Okay, deal?
Yes.
Please, as informal as possible, if my accent betrays me, raise your hand. Ask a question, interrupt me, etc. So here is the software. The software is a license. You may install the license in as many as devices as you own. So we have a license. One single license entitles you for your iPhone, iPad, Mac, PC, in as many as devices as you own. So you may change your computer, you go to our website, you log in, you download the license again. Again, the license is a lifetime license. And the concept is simple. You have a massive theological library. Bibles, dictionaries, commentary sets, lexicons, apologetics, all the same books that you may go and purchase physical within your library. All of them are within the software. I wish I could say all of the books are in here, but not. We don't have them all. We have about 45,000 books in our format. So we basically talked to the publishers. We have an agreement, the same book in a digital format inside a software. Nevertheless, even though you could open the book and read the book from beginning to end, you could do it, but that is not the purpose of the software. If you want to do something like that, my suggestion, buy a Kindle or buy a PDF of the book, I don't know, it's and read the book end to end. With a software, you could do that. You can do that. Nevertheless, that is not the main purpose of the software. The main purpose of the software is that our 350 people spend hours, months, and years going through all of those books and tagging, classifying the images, the maps, the dictionaries, the words, and the original languages, all of the things that sermon manuscripts, citations from the early church fathers, all of those are classified with topics or verses of the Bible. So you go to the software and say, hey, I want to study this passage or this topic, and Logos will go through all your books, and it's going to pull out every single thing that we think that will help you out to study that passage or topic, and it's going to pull it out of that book, and it's going to show it to you in the simplest form as possible. That is, in a nutshell, the software. So this is the welcome screen. This is how the software opens. You can do a lot of things. You can do prayer lists. You can do reading plans that will sync with your iPhone, with your iPads. You have like a newspaper. Every day you open the software, it will show you different articles, different images, and you can click on them, and we'll open more information as you go, right? Something without an agenda to help you out dig into the Word. 80% of the software is right here in this section. See here? Where's John 4? 80% of the software is right there. The only thing you need to do with Logos is right there in that section, you type a passage or a topic, and you click go. That's easy. You cannot do it. You know, we thought about doing it the simplest way as possible, and this is what we developed. So for the sake of this quick demo, I'm going to use John 4. Let's say you want to prepare a sermon about John 4, want to dig into the Word. You type John 4, you click go, and boom, this is what Logos provides. We more or less estimate, like, if you spend 50, 60 hours going through physical books, that's more or less the time that we estimate that you're saving doing the same research with Logos here. So as you can see, Logos divides the screen in 5 sections. We have one in the middle, you see it here? 1 here, 3 here, 4, and 5. This is your desk. Right in the middle, I have my Bibles. I have the ESV, NAS, NIV, NRSV. You could say, hey, these are my top 5 Bibles. You may have 20 different versions of the Bible. You say, hey, Logos, these are my 5 preferred Bibles. And Logos will open those 5 Bibles right there for you. Okay? On the bottom side, Logos will open your top biblical commentary right away. So you say, hey, Logos, this is my top New Testament or Old Testament preferred commentary set. And Logos will open that for you. One of the cool things about Logos is that your commentary set and your Bible, they're linked. Okay? They're linked. So as you can see, if you keep looking through your commentary set, I'm going to move my Bible to a different verse, and look what happens. You see? The commentary set will follow my reading as I go through the Bible, so I don't need to go and flip pages or even click on some place. The software will follow my commentary set with my Bible. One of the other cool things that we do is to help you out to do Bible word studies, which is crucial, I believe, when you're doing sermon preps. And the way we do that, welcome, the way we do that is you go and pick any word from your Bible. I'm going to use John 4:24, which is one of my favorite verses. You probably know this verse. It says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and... anyone?
Truth.
Truth, right? So let's say you want to do a Bible word study and you want to be able to go to the Greek form of truth and make a judgment on that translation. So for logos, the only thing you need to do to be able to go to the lexicon and make sense of the word truth is to move the cursor over the word truth, and then this section that shows information, you see it here, will pop up, will pull that lexicon, and will show you the Greek meaning of that word. So I move the cursor over the word truth, and boom, there you have it. This is right there in my lexicon, and let's say if you're learning your Greek, you can click here on this icon,
Aletheia,
and Logos will help you out with the Greek pronunciation so you can show off that you're a Greek master. I'm just kidding. But then you have your lexicon, you have the TBNT, BDAG, and I can click on it. So I have my lexicon right here for me. Just by clicking on it, Logos is pulling out exactly the page of the lexicon, defining truth from the Greek word that means hiding nothing. And that, then you can build a sermon right from one single word, if you wish, you know. So as we move along, we also have this section called text comparison, which will give you side by side your top five Bibles. We'll put them side by side, and we'll mark those words that are being translated differently from your preferred Bible. So this is my ESV. It has a 28% difference of the NAS, 42% difference of the NIV, and so forth. And then you can see those marks as saying, hey, these are words that they're not on the ESV. They're in the ESV, but not on the NIV. And you can make a judgment based on your different translations. Fair enough? Are you understanding my English? Okay. So we move along, and then we go to the final section. You have your Bibles, your commentary sets, then you have your information section, and your side-by-side. Do we have any students here? Anyone? Okay, fair enough. So this is a simple thing that you might do with Logos that is a huge time saver. I do it when I'm doing sermon prep. I don't know if you have encountered this, but when I finish a sermon, I usually have about two or three people walking to me and asking me, hey, perhaps you explained it, or you read a poem, or you did a citation during your sermon, which I'm not necessarily, depending on the sermon, explaining, I got this from this place, or whatever, I'm just doing it, right? People ask me, where did you get that? So I want to be able to go to that resource that you're explaining for whatever reason on your sermon. So let's say I have here my IBP New Testament Commentary, and let's say you find something really good that you want to use it for the sermon or for your paper if you're a student. So with Logos, you can just select the text. You can do a copy. Then you go to your Word document, right? You're building your sermon or your paper. And you paste it, right? And that's it. This is an actual paragraph from my commentary set, which I'm placing on my sermon right away, and will also build up the citation for you. What happened?
It'll save you so much time.
Oh. This is a simple thing, but it's a huge time saver. If you're a student or you're building sermons, I don't know, but it happens to me. People ask me, hey, I want to, you know, where did you got that? So forth, I have it right there, show them. Perhaps I sometimes give them the section of the paper so they can look to it. You can change this to Harvard, APA, to Arabian. It is customizable, whatever you want to do with it. So let's move along. We move to this section. Any questions so far? Cool? Okay. So we move to this section, and this section is called Passage Guide. And this is one of my favorite sections because it will pull up all the other things within all your books that you own that we believe will help you out to study John 4. The first section, they're all the commentary sets that I own. Here I have Hermeneia, Expositor Bible Commentary. So if I want to open this book on John 4. I just click on it, and I have my second commentary set open right there in John 4. My third commentary set, my fourth commentary set, my fifth commentary set, and so forth. For me, this is really valuable because sometimes I'm reading a commentary set and I'm like, dude, I already know that. And then I want to open a second one, so I just click on the second one, and I'm like, dude, this guy's repeating the same as the other one. And then I go to the third one, takes me 10 seconds with Logos. I can right away look at a glance, multiple commentary sets. Sometimes I'm just reading this one, and I remember something that this one is defending quite the opposite, so I can click back on that tab and go forth, back and forth to it. So all those commentary sets are right there for you. And then you have all the cross references. The best book to study the Bible is?
Bible.
The Bible. Man, be sure about that. The best book to study the Bible is the Bible. There's no other book to study the Bible better than the Bible. Okay? So those are all the intertextual passages across the Old Testament and New Testament relevant to John 4. They're already open right there. You don't need to click on a Bible. They're right there on the list for you to see. As we move along, we'll give you all the cultural concept, explaining all those concepts behind the cultural aspects of it so you can study them. We'll also show you all the biblical people that are being named again in John 4, 1-48. You can click on any of those. We'll give you images, genealogies. And let's say, for example, I'm just using Jesus because it's right here. But let's say you're studying, right, a story and a passage, and you want to study a person from the story. So you click on Jesus per se. In this case, I'm going to click on it, and we're going to open this one, this feature. Let me just open it in a big window so we can see it better. And this is called Factbook, and this is new from Logos 6, and it's one of my favorite things also. So the first thing we'll do, we'll say, hey, this is the guy, this is the name of the guy, right, that you're exploring. We'll explain you all the different roles in the Bible. He was a carpenter, high priest, the Messiah, the prophet, and so forth. We'll show you all the media that you own, all the graphics, genealogies, all the things that you own visually about that person. Then we'll show you all the events in the Bible related to that person. Again, I just pick Jesus, but it could be anyone. Then we'll show you all the dictionaries that you own, explaining about that person, all the preaching resources with illustrations about that person, if you're talking about that. And then we go here, and this is one of the things that I really love about Logos, because I love languages. I could spend hours studying, especially the New Testament. So here is the referred to as section. So this section shows all the different names that this person is referred to in the Bible and how many times it is referred to as that. So I have, as a pronoun, obviously, I have 2900, but then Jesus per se, I can click here and then I have all the verses. In the original manuscript, I have 627 times, and I can move the cursor over this graph and I can see how many hits per book. John, 239 times. And so forth. And then I have the Lord 285 times, Christ Jesus, Son of Man, happens 84 times, and I can click on it. I have all the verses with it referred to as Son of Man. For me, this is crucial because if you do a search on Google or any software, you need to have an exact grammatical form of the search. Right? But perhaps in the Bible, a person is not always referred with his proper name. It's referred as different things. And this will help you out to narrow that down. Cool? Any questions? Okay, so we move along. You go down and you have all the biblical places that are being mentioned. All those maps are interactive. And I'm going to open any of those. Let's open this one. So you can see. You can copy paste this map to PowerPoint, Keynote. You can do whatever you want with this map. But one of the things that I really love is like that all of them, they're interactive. So you can narrow it down. You can zoom in, I'm sorry. And you can click on the command section, on the command keyword, and you can see, hey, this guy walked from this place to this place, and you can see the distances. At least for me, you know, it really helped me a lot because there's a lot of movement when Jesus is walking, and this gives you an idea of the distances. Better than just opening a book or reading 5 pages of a commentary set to make sense the distances between these places. So as we move along, we also have the biblical things, all the things that are being mentioned in this passage. You have them right there for me, for you. And then you have media resources, all the visual aspects of it, all the topics that are being related, that are related with this passage. Then you have integration with Grace Media, PowerPoint slides that you can use for your sermon prep right there at your fingerprints. And then also one cool thing is that in this section called media collection, perhaps not necessarily for a sermon, but for a teaching class, here's a slide deck of about 7 slides. So we have 7 slides for each book of the Bible. So that's 7 6-books in the Bible, 7 slides per book. And you click on it, and what we do is we give you this slide deck that will show you the theme of the book, it will give you the context of the book, it will show you a map of exactly the movement of the things that are happening within that book. It will give you a timeline and the story of the church, and then it will give you an outline, and then we'll just give you the final slide. It's an empty slide, so you can build up on top of it. So at least it helps me a lot as an introduction. If I am talking about John 4, I normally sometimes use this as an introduction, and then I continue my lesson building up. Again, as you can see, you can send to Keynote, you can send to Proclaim directly from here, PowerPoint, and so forth. Fair enough? That is more or less 60 to 70% of the software in about 20 minutes that we have dedicated, okay? Now I'm gonna show you the best tool that I believe you can find to do sermon prep quickly. I believe to be biblically and to react to it in as much time as you have, okay? And it's called Sermon Starter Guide. Have you used it? No? So you go here to Guides. It's called Sermon Starter Guide. Guide, Sermon Starter Guide. And you write any topic, biblical topic. Again, you have to narrow it down because sometimes, I did this at a conference, I will never do it again. I asked, okay, anyone, tell me a topic. And then this guy came up and say, the Son of God who abandoned him and decided to sin in the world because they love to sin. And dude, that's like a sentence, you know. You have to narrow it down. It has to be like worship, sin, love, faith, and so forth. So I'm going to use faith. Let's say you're thinking, you're praying, and you're saying, hey, I think I need to preach about faith. So you go here to Sermon Starter Guide. You type faith. You click on faith, which is a theme that you want to explore to build up a sermon. Logos will go through all your books, but in this case, you're not studying in a specific passage. You're studying a complete, you know, holistic subject from the Bible. And Logos will pull out everything that you own within those books that will help you out to build a sermon about faith. First, it will give you a simple sentence definition about faith. Then it will give you all the key passages that you have in the Bible about faith. Then we'll give you the pericopes, which I love the concept of doing this because in the Noah story, we won't find faith grammatically in the text. But Laga say, hey, he did act on faith. So we'll show you stories that even though grammatically the word is not there, it is implicit on the story. And then as we move along, we'll give you sermon manuscripts from different church fathers or different authors. Those manuscripts, again, they're up to you to use to look for illustrations. But again, you know, I respect if you want to print them and preach them as they are, but be careful about that. It's just to give you manuscripts of sermons for you to explore. Then it gets even better with this section that is called preaching resources. These are hundreds of facts, historical facts, citations from the early church fathers, all of them related to the topic of faith. So instead of going to Google and searching preaching illustration for faith, you go to Logos and we'll narrow it down for you. So all of those are hits. You see this book, I have 32 hits with illustrations about faith. I'm sorry, this one is quotations for preachers. And then you click on it, and there you have it. All of those are different citations. I have Augustine of Hippo, there you have it, Anne Murray. All of those are quotes that you can use for your sermon. You have illustrations, hundreds. Again, for me, it's endless. All the different, you have to go through them and pick the one that you prefer, right? So that section is called preaching resources. And then the final section is called thematic outlines, which is one of my favorite because it's going to help you out a lot to build up an outline. So within faith, we have different subtopics, right? Faith is like a really open topic, if you could say so. So all of these are different kind of subtopics of faith. So there you have faith and blessings of God, growth in faith, life of faith, necessity of faith, testing of faith is the last one. That sounds like a good sermon topic, right, for a Sunday. So you click on it, and we'll give you a complete biblical outline of testing of faith. The synopsis, topic, subtopic, verse to sustain that topic. Subtopic, verse to sustain that topic. You click here on copy. See it? This section right here? The right side, top right side. You click copy. You go to your Word doc. And there you have it. You paste it. And there you have all your sermon outline with the verses. Like it? What do you think? Again, this is about 11 pages. So be careful. If you're going to preach about testing of faith, you can pick and choose all those, you know, the outlines and narrow it down as you go. But it will save you at least hours of building an outline. You may start with this and then pick and choose the different points that you want. Again, this is not an expository preaching type. It is topical preaching. You can narrow it down. Some people use this and then they go to a specific passage and they explore the passage and make a decision about if they want to pursue that or not. Fair enough? So I just want to spend the rest 5-10 minutes and then open the floor for questions and show you the different options. I want to show you more of the visual things that sometimes I use for preaching, depending on the audience on the topic. And this is one of the best things that I believe Logos have developed. Have you seen it? This is called the Psalms Explorer, and I don't know any other software so far that can do this. 150 bubbles representing the 150 Psalms. The bigger the bubble, the longer the psalm, As you can see, then 119 seems like the psalmist went like really far with that one, right? Comparing it to the other ones. So again, the bigger the bubble, the longer the psalm. The colors of the bubbles, they're representing the different genres of the songs. So as you can see, just by looking at this Psalms Explorer, you can see that almost a third of it, of the worships to God, there are written in moments of lament. And then you have praise, and then you have trust, and so forth. So let's say you are exploring the Psalms, and you want to narrow it down, and you want to explore the Psalms of David, only the ones written by David. So you can see the section here, we have different filters. You see David right there? So you click on David, and boom, we'll take away all the Psalms that were not written by David, and we'll show you the 74 Psalms by David. As you can see, he continues the pattern. He mainly wrote about lament. And then, prophetically speaking, Jesus is the son of David, right? New Testament, son of David. So now I want to study those psalms written by David that are messianic. Even before the Messiah, those psalms written by David that point out to the Messiah. So I go in the sections here, go down, messianic, boom. There you have it, 11 psalms from David are messianic. Then I want to see from those psalms, which psalms are of trust. Our trust should be in the Messiah, right? Only in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You click on trust, boom, there you have it. For me, Psalm 16 is one of the most crucial psalms, at least for me, because it's the only psalm by David, messianic, of trust. You can click on it, and then you have the complete poetic structure so you can study the psalm. If you're into the languages, you can click here in Hebrew. I will give you the Hebrew side by side with the English, and then you can study all of those aspects of it. It is not only by genre, you can narrow it down, say, by structure. There you have it. All the psalms divided by structure, acrostic, chiasm, and so forth. By author, those are all the different authors of the psalms. It is a beautiful way, I believe, to study the psalms visually. Especially if you're preaching about the psalms, sometimes it's helpful to do perhaps a series, depending on the genre, and so forth, or by author. That's kind of interesting. Also, a couple of other things we do new. This one is called Before and After. And again, there are more visual things for your sermon. You have different biblical sites. Let's say I want to explore the Temple of Jerusalem. You click on it. I will show you this section with information about the structure and destruction of the temple. And then you have this high-def image here with a line in the middle. Can you see it? So you move this line to the right, and you can see the temple before the destruction. And then to the left, this is an actual image and how it looks today. This is kind of cool to be able to see those sites. Now the Bible tells story of real places that we can actually go there right now. And the more we show them as they were and as they are, I believe that the Bible comes alive to the audience. In this same area, we also have interactive infographics like this ones. All of them, again, if you're preaching about the armor of God and so forth, you can click on any of those, and you can navigate through the different places. This is, for example, Solomon's Temple. You can click on any place, and then we will go deeper. As you can click on the Holy of Holies, and so forth. I always make the disclaimer: be sure that you're okay with God if you're gonna click on the Holy of Holies. You don't want the computer exploding or something happening, right? Questions? That's it? Go for it.
Are there any links to videos, Igniter video kind of things? If you say, I'm doing a sermon on this topic, I want a quick video to start it.
Yes and no. The only videos so far that we have, they're not someone explaining something. They're mainly biblical sites. So Jerusalem, you will have a 360 live cam taking a snapshot of Jerusalem, and that's mainly it. Those videos, you need to be connected to the internet because they will not live on your hard drive. The software per se lives on your hard drive. So depending on your license, it could take about 4 gigs to 8 gigs, depending on the amount of books that you want, right? However, what we're doing now...
You could put links in there, though, to show you what's out there.
Yeah, we're working on it. You're there, you're right there. We're working on it. What we're doing is we're doing exactly that. If you're looking for media, it will go to the internet and we'll show you the images and videos that we have tagged related to that place. But that's exactly the things that we're working on. But we also have in that section the big disclaimer. This is not, you know, log us. This is, you're going to an external website, but it's like a portal because right there you're using log us and then you can expand to other things that we don't own your rights, if you could say so. But that is a really good question. We're working on that as we go. I want to say a couple of things. First, we have something that is really good. You have to check it out. It's called Mobile Ed. So what we're doing now, you have to go to our office. It's a beautiful building. It's a campus. And we're filming classes from different professors. N.T. Wright, D.A. Carson. They're flying to our office. We're filming. And we're basically selling a class, third class, you won't get a certificate or a master's degree or a PhD with them. It is mainly them giving you a class with logos. So as they talk and so forth, the screen will help you with your software to do it by yourself, the same things. Those courses are expensive because those guys are, you know, well-known people. So, but it's something that we're working in terms of videos. Besides the biblical sites and other things that we're doing, it's called Mobile Ed. But those things like Mobile Ed and the videos, you need to be connected to the internet just for the sake that we don't know how big is your computer, your hard drive, I mean, so we don't want to put all that stuff in the computer. Did I answer a question?
Yeah, thank you.
Go for it.
So the library that you've been using, like the commentaries and things like that, do you buy those like individually, separately, as you're using the app? Do you come, like when you buy the software, does it include all of this?
I'm going to show now the different options so you guys can see them. Nevertheless, you start with a package. It's the same as Accordance and other Bible Works and other softwares out there. One of the main difference, and obviously I am biased because I use Logos, is that the amount of books that we have. We have about, you know, 50,000 books. That's one of the main differences of Logos. It's the amount of relationship that we have built up with the publishers, the credibility of them, saying, okay, I want to sign a contract with you guys because you're adding up more users globally faster. And now we're doing Spanish, which that's one of the main reasons I joined the company, to help out with the Spanish. Now we have Portuguese. Now we're pursuing other relationships. But to answer your question, we have about 50,000 books in our format. So you buy a package, a base package, we call it, with a specific amount of books, but you can grow as you go. So the beauty of it, you buy a book from which I strongly recommend. It is the best New Testament pastoral commentary that I've read. New Testament for everyone from N.T. Wright. I strongly recommend it. It is within Logos. I'm not sure if it's in accordance. New Testament for Everyone from N.T. Wright. Pastorally, it is not an exegetical commentary, but pastorally, that is the best commentary that I've read. So you can add those books on top of it, on top of your license. You log into our website with your account, same as Amazon and all the websites. You purchase that book. You open your Logos with a computer. The book will download to your Logos. And now that book is indexed as part of the library. So if N.T. Wright has something to say about John 4 or about faith, the next time you do the things that I'm doing, it's going to say, huh, you just bought a book yesterday from N.T. Wright. I want to show you page 90, paragraph 4, sentence 3, with something about that. Or an image in paragraph 4 of page 150 related to the things that you're searching at. Now, myself, you became addicted. Because you see, oh man, I could buy C.S. Lewis books, I don't know, depending on your author. And instead of flipping through those pages, you are guaranteed that every time that you do a search of a topic or a passage, you're going to skim through those books in seconds, and it's going to pull out all the things inside that may be beneficial for that study. You never lose your book. You're never going to pay twice for the same book. You buy the book one time, and it's yours for life. Again, if you change computer, you go to the website, you log in, you download the software, everything that you already own, all the customization, all the notes, all the highlighting will sync and will download again to your computer. I have invested for the last 7 years a lot of money buying more books and more books. But Logos, we offer different payment plans, which is good and bad because you keep adding books and you don't feel it, right? Because you're doing payment plans, which makes it affordable. So I want to show the different options so you guys can see what I'm talking about. So as I was saying, we have different bundles, and this is one of our basic bundles. It is named Bronze, and it comes with about, if you spend the money buying the physical books, it will cost you about $7,000 or more or less if you buy all of those books. It comes with about 500 books, more give or take. And the cost, the regular price of this is $629. It comes with 84 commentary set, about 20 theological works, about 100 lexicons and dictionaries from the Hebrew and Greek. We're talking about 540 plus, more or less, books. For the conferences, you can go to our website anytime. I bought the website, regular price on the web on the website about 7 years ago. But when we go to conferences, you get a 20% discount. So never buy the software on the website. Buy it at a conference like here that we're offering you. With the 20%, we give you the option to pay it per month. So you fill a form. I have the forms with me. You put your name, email, credit card. We'll send you a link in 24 hours, a link to download the software. We will charge you for the Bronze, again, 500 more or less books, $47 for 12 months. This is not a subscription. It is, instead of paying the $600, you say, hey, I'm going to do my budget. I'm going to spend $47, 12 months. This software is yours for life. If you want to pay for new books, obviously, talk to N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright won't give you any of his books for free. You know, he received royalties for those books. That's why those books cost money within the software, because you buy the software, we pay the publishers, they pay the authors. 47. This is silver, which is a step up. It will give about 730 books, cost you about $10,000 if you were to buy all those physical books. $9.99 regular price on our website. About 178 commentary sets, 24 theological works, 730 plus resources, I was saying, $72 for 12 months. Now, this is my best recommendation, my starting point. Why? Because the gold will give you all the features of Logos 6. If you buy silver or bronze, silver, for example, won't give you the Psalms Explorer. See, so it comes with a feature set per se. Below gold, it won't give you all the features. If you buy gold, you get all the features of Logos, Sermon Prep, Psalms Explorer, all the visual things. And this is about $69 for 21 months. That's the longest. So $69 gives you about 1,000 resources, comes with top-notch commentary sets, in-depth lexicon, $69. We call this one the seminary library because it will give you more Hebrew and Greek tools. It will give you the IBP New Testament commentary set. And the Platinum is my best advice if you really want to go deep into the text. So it will come with all the things that comes with the gold, but the commentary set will not only be pastoral. There are more exegetical analysis. So they will say, hey, this verb is used by Paul in an imperative form when he's saying this to this church. Jesus is using the exact same verb when he's talking to the disciples. Therefore, this implies this. This is the Platinum. So this one comes with about almost 1,500 resources, and it's $84 for 29 months. We have Diamond, which adds up Spurgeon commentary sets, sermon from Spurgeon. It will give you more theological works for you to research and a lot of journals inside, and it's about $100, $120 for 26 months. Again, just a recap, as I was saying at the beginning, the license, wherever you go, you are allowed to share the license with your spouse, but not with a pastor, with your friend, with your church. It's only one license between you and your spouse, and no one else. Again, as I already said, it is a lifetime license. Wherever you go, you own that license. Whatever happens, it's completely yours. We have a 30-day trial. So you say, Jose, it seems good. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's almost 10 p.m. I'm tired. I have to think about it. You know, you fill a form. We'll send you the link. You play with it for 30 days. If you're not convinced, you give us a call. We'll cancel the order, give the first month back for you to try it out. Now we have hundreds of videos, training videos. There's even people who do not work for Logos posting videos on how to use it, on how to do sermon series, and so forth. We have a customer service. The only difference is that, the only difference is that it's in the Pacific, but we are in the Pacific. So we're in Seattle, so we have a customer service number. You call in, we'll help you guys out. And again, as I said, we have the conference discount, which is a 20% off from the website. And that's it.
Thank you.
Questions? I want to give you a form so you can check it out.